open with a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we're so thankful for the blessings of being here this morning and for our lesson today. I ask you to speak very clearly through our lesson, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's jump in to our new study this morning, and today we're going to start a new book. Now look at the title. It says, Virtuous, a study for ladies of every age. Well, that just fits our class perfectly because we have ladies of every age in our class, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. And our author of this book is the same lady who wrote our previous book, Learning Contentment. I like how she writes. I've even been kind of hounding her, looking at her on YouTube videos and listening to her. She has a podcast. She's a lady with a lot of wisdom. So before we begin this morning, I want to make a challenge to you to make every effort to come to Sunday school. Be with us each week. We're going to cover one chapter a week. Today I'm going to teach you chapter one. By the way, our books were here last week. Remember when I said I couldn't find them? They were here, but they were hidden. And so I'm sorry I didn't have them out last week. So we're just going to jump right in. And just like our previous study, we're going to try to take time at the end of each lesson and discuss the questions out of the end of the book. Now, Teresa, how can I get the most out of this study? Well, get a book. That's number one. Get your own copy of a book. The cost is $10. Hey, that's a bargain. If you go on Amazon, that costs more. The church is letting us have them for a deal. I always like a deal. Teresa, I didn't bring my money today. Well, go ahead and get your book. That's okay. You can bring it next week. Well, Teresa, I don't have my money. I don't have any money. Well, get a book anyway, and the church will pay for you. Then I want you to read it chapter by chapter every week and answer the questions at the end of the book. It's so easy. It's an easy read. It will probably take you 30 minutes to read it and then answer the questions. And then come to Sunday school each week. Be on time if you can. But don't let that keep you from coming. Come on in anyway. That doesn't bother me. Because I tell you, if I wasn't a teacher, I'd be late every week. And then participate in the discussions at the end of our lesson. Now here's a truth that is I think you'll agree with me, that the more you put into something, the more you invest yourself in something, then the more benefit you reap. Now, is that not true? It's so true. So this morning, I'm just going to introduce our study, and let's jump right in. So our first title is, What is Virtue? We're going to start by talking about this old-fashioned word. It's kind of a Victorian word. The word virtue. And we're going to use as our foundation scripture a scripture that comes out of 2 Peter. So look on your handout. It comes out of 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Let's start by reading verse 3. Seeing that his divine power. Whose divine power? Well, that's speaking of God's divine power. Seeing that God's divine power. Now notice, has granted to us everything, put a circle around that word, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, my goodness, that's quite a statement. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, what a verse. Go back. Did you hear that? It said God has. God has. Now, that's past tense. God has already granted to us something in Christ. And it's everything that we need. Wait a minute, Teresa. Are you telling me I have everything I need? Yeah, I am. I'm telling you that God's Word says, in Christ, you have everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. Now, I'm just going to say to you this morning, that is such good news. It's not something that comes later in your Christian journey. It comes at the point of salvation. Everything you need, you have in Christ. Well, oh, that's good news. I guess all I need to do is just go sit on the couch in a great big holy flock and just kick back. I got everything I need. Let go and let God, right? Is that what I'm saying this morning? No. Actually, the very opposite of that is true. Just listen to the very next verse, verse 5. Now, for this very reason, what reason, Teresa? Well, because God has granted to us everything we need for life and godliness. Then he says this. Now, here's what you need to do. Also, apply all diligence. Now, circle the word all there. How much diligence on your part? All. You're going to have to give yourself wholeheartedly to this. In your faith, supply moral excellence. Now, stop right there for a minute. Peter is saying, because of all God has done for us, oh, thank you, Lord. Does your heart just well up with thanksgiving for what God has done for us? I know mine does. And because of it, you know what I'm to do? I'm not to have a holy flock. I'm to apply all diligence. And then he says, in your faith, supply moral excellence. Now let's pull out some words of that verse that are going to give us a deeper sense of the meaning of what Peter is saying here this morning. First, I want us to look at the word apply there in verse 5. Let's write some things down about that verse. First of all, that word apply, that implies effort on my part. I'm going to give effort to this. I'm going to give maximum effort to this. Teresa, that's such a paradox. I mean, God has given us everything we need, and yet it's going to require my effort. Well, yes, it is. That's what I'm saying this morning. And that's what the word apply means. Let's write it this way. It means making maximum effort. So write that in the blank. And then let's write it this way on our handout. It's the idea of bringing in my every effort alongside what God has already done and deposited in me. Peter's saying, look, this is what God has done for you in salvation. He's granted everything you need for life and godliness. Now, you are to bring alongside what he has done for you, your every effort. Now, that's what the word apply means. It means all diligence, eagerness, and then write this word in, hastiness. I like that. It's used of someone who's in a hurry. I mean, don't wait to do this, girls. Be fast in doing this. It also means this word, write it down. It means zeal. I love the word zeal, and I love to be around people who are zealous for God. It's a very strong word. And so let me say it again. This is what Peter is saying to us this morning. Alongside of what God has done for us and for you in salvation, you are to bring in every zealous, eager, hasty, hurried, effort on your part. That's the word apply. Now let's look at another word. Let's pull another word out, and it's the word supply. What does that word supply really mean? Listen to it again. Apply all diligence in your faith, and then that word, supply moral excellence. Such an interesting word. And here's what it means. It means to give lavishly. I like the word lavish, don't you? It means to give generously, to lavishly and willingly pour out everything that is necessary for a noble performance. It's the idea of a willing and lavish generosity in the equipping. Now, this is a word that goes way back to the times of the Greek, when the Greeks were writing these amazing plays, Euripides, and all of these plays. They were amazing, and they were performing them, and they were just, they're still around today. I know you read the play Euripides really recently, right?
What's the word that goes
in
blank beyond?
Oh, the blank, which one? Equipping, equipping. 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 Now, here's what would happen. They would have a play, and then some donor, some rich person, would come alongside the director of that play, and they would get together the chorus and all of the things needed to make the play successful. And they would do it generously, lavishly, out of their own money and their love for the arts. That's where that word came from. And so you, out of your love for what God has lavishly done for you, you're going to pour out all that you are. Now let's go back to the verse once more. For this reason, because of all that Christ has done for you, you should respond in your life this way, applying all diligence, supply, which means lavishly, generously, not in a miserly or a shallow way. No, you, and then that little phrase, in your faith. You're going to supply something to your faith. Faith is assumed here. So in your faith, and by the way, that's where your journey with God began. You were saved how? By faith. That's where you began. See, that's just the very beginning of your adventure with Christ. You get saved, then the very next thing is you're to supply something. It comes right after salvation. You need to lavishly supply, apply all zeal to come alongside what Christ has done. And then you do everything you can. You possibly can. It means you're going to be pursuing something. Now, what, Teresa, what do I as a believer need to pursue? I mean, I get saved, and then right after that, what comes next? And what does he say? Supply what? What is it? Moral excellence. Ladies, that is the word virtue. If you go to the King James Version of the Bible, it has the word virtue. Many translations put the word virtue there. It's a very old-fashioned word. When have you heard lately someone say, "Oh, I just love Teresa Summers. She is so virtuous." You don't hear that word. Her Sunday school class, oh my goodness, they're just full of virtuous women. No, you don't hear that. But that word means this. It means moral excellence. Another version uses the word goodness. That's in the NIV. So let's ask this question. What is virtue? Let's write some things down. In classical times, the word meant the God-given ability to perform heroic acts. Now, I like that. And then over time it came to mean this. It came to mean the quality of someone's life which makes them stand out in their generation as excellent. So write that down. It's a very noble term. So Peter says you were saved by simple faith. Now, you're going to supply something to that faith. You're going to move to the next step after your faith. And you're going to do it with all your heart and with all your mind. You're going to apply with great effort, with great eagerness, with zeal, and with haste, and with lavish supply of moral excellence, or goodness, or virtue. In other words, I want you to pursue this. Now, I'm just going to say this morning, this is a calling that applies to every Christian. We are to be diligently engaged in adding virtue to our life. It's a worthy goal that we're looking at. It's a worthy goal for us to focus on and for us to spend some time on. Now, here's my question. Do you want to be known as a virtuous woman? Do you? I know I do. And so in our study, we're going to be taking one virtue at a time, and we're going to be focusing on it so that we can sharpen our living skills. Now, Teresa, you don't know my past. I'm not very virtuous. Listen, God loves taking us right where we are. That's the power of God. He can take us despite our mistakes. He can transform us into virtuous women who are excellent. I don't have to be held down by mistakes I made in my past. Isn't that good news? God can take me and from this day forward began sharpening my living skills so that I am living out biblical womanhood before my daughters, before my granddaughters, before my Sunday school class. We want to become women that we would want them to imitate. And I'm so excited about all we're going to be learning. So let's write this down. Virtue is really about two things. It's about our behavior, and it's also about our character. So write that on your handout. And let's break that down a little bit. It looks like this. It involves what we do on your handout, and it also involves who we are. And what I do and who I am in my heart need to match. So what does a virtuous woman look like, Teresa? Well, what picture comes to your mind? Is she one who, she doesn't want to get her hands dirty? No. Is she one who's very soft-spoken and quiet and she's sitting dressed in a Victorian outfit? No. I learned something interesting this week about virtue. The word virtuous has a Greek meaning for men, a masculine meaning, and it also has a feminine meaning. And when you're talking about the masculine meaning, it's speaking of a man of great wealth. Now, we looked at Ruth a few weeks ago in our other study. Do you remember she was the widow who was living in Moab with her daughter-in-laws? Her mother-in-law was named Naomi. And Naomi decided to go back to the land of Judah. And she tried to send her daughter-in-laws, "You don't have to come." They were bound to go with her, but she released them. But Ruth was like, no. I want to go with you. I want to go with you. I'm committed to you forever. And guess what? Your God's going to be my God. And she went with her back to Judah. In chapter 3, she meets Boaz, who happens to be the great-grandfather of David. And listen to what Boaz says about her. He's getting to know her. And here's what he says. He says, "All the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." She had a reputation. You do too. You do. You have a reputation. Her reputation was, "You're virtuous." What were they saying about her? Well, she was a woman of strength. She was a woman of bravery, of capability, a hard worker. She was of great worth. She had standing in her community. She was a woman of stature. She was a strong woman, very active, very involved, very well known, a virtuous woman. And listen, she was a blessing to everyone. Now, virtues are good qualities that God's word defines for us. She was filled with those good qualities, and she was actively pursuing them every day of her life. Let's look at a few scriptures that talk about the pursuit of virtue. Now, we've already looked at one out of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. And so based on that scripture that we've already looked at, write this on your handout. Virtue is something we are to pursue. We are to pursue virtue. We're to give ourselves to virtue, to the pursuit of holiness. We are to overflow. We are to abound in virtue. And then another verse I want us to look at comes out of Philippians 4:8. And write this on your handout. We are to think about virtue. Look at the verse. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And our study is going to help us do that very thing. We're going to be thinking about virtue for the next few weeks. So it must be praiseworthy, or we would not be commanded to fill our minds with thoughts of virtue. So finding out what virtuous means is a worthy thing for us to do. Now, I need to say something. If you think you can just buy this book and you can read this book and you're going to automatically become virtuous, you would be mistaken. It is of primary importance for us to remember something. And it's this: the Lord in us. He is the one who is doing the transformation. Amen. We're going to depend on Him. We're going to think on the things, and the Spirit is going to take what we're thinking on, and He's going to transform us through the study. He's the one bringing the growth. So write this on your handout. All of this is possible only because of the presence of who? The Holy Spirit. We need to appreciate the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15:10 and just listen to what Paul had to say. He says this: but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. See, Paul bragged, I worked harder than any of the other apostles. But he was quick to add, it wasn't really me, it was just the grace of God in me. Without the grace of God working in our lives, we will not be virtuous. So let's write it this way on our handout. Our pursuit of becoming holy depends on the grace of God. He's going to give us the power to grow and to be transformed. He's going to give us the power to pray. He's going to give us the power to think about these things, to apply what we're learning. He works in, and then we work it out, and that's our verse out of Ephesians. In Philippians on your handout. For it is God who is at work in us, that's the Holy Spirit, causing us to will and to do for His good pleasure. He's in us. We're working out what is in us. So this morning, I'm asking you today, come joyfully. Come expectantly. Join with me in this study. Take it seriously. Be diligent to learn. And then understand this, He promises to bless us more abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. Let's put our faith to work. Let's pursue virtue together, trusting God to do amazing things. Now, before we break into our small group, I want you just to look at your table of contents, just to kind of get a little taste for what we're going to be looking at, all the different virtues. And she says, now this is not an exhaustive list of virtues, This is just some virtues. So look at them with me. There's diligence, cheerfulness, contentment, prudence, wisdom, humility, courage, kindness, loyalty, chastity, modesty, gratitude, domesticity, I can't say it, patience, and then it's followed by a concluding chapter. So now I want us to jump in. I know you haven't had time to do your questions, but let's just get around tables and let's just look at our questions and see what comes to your mind as we answer them together. Then I'm going to come back and close us with prayer at the end of our time. So look at your books together. And if you want to get with a large group, feel free to move to another table. And if you don't have a book, get one.